first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk, 106, 534 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. So come on the program for Breitbart News, Francis Martell. Also, State Representative Shane Stringer and our friend from Yellowhammer News for his weekly visit, Sean Ross, will be with us. Please stick around for that. Also, taking your calls and your text, 251-343-0106. Next guest joining us, former senator, U.S. senator for the state of Georgia, and staying in the game, Kelly Loeffler joins us on the line. Senator, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Jeff. Great to be with y'all.
Thanks for taking time. We do appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about, obviously the election didn't go the way you had hoped it was, but it looks like you're remaining in the game, remaining active in the process, the civic process. Talk a little bit about kind of what led you to remain part of the discussion.
Well, Jeff, a big part of what led me to remain involved was the reason I got involved in public service in the first place, which was to make a difference for hardworking Georgians, for our great state that is the number one state to do business in the country, number two for black-owned businesses, and number five for military and veterans, and just making sure that we keep our state and our country great. And I saw firsthand as a candidate in two of the largest elections in our state's history, the 2020 general and then the Senate runoff in January, that obviously didn't go our way. I saw the need to make sure that more Georgians' voices were heard. We know that in this state, there's about 4 million eligible voters who didn't vote. And we also know that Democrats were incredibly organized. And, you know, here in Georgia, we can't get complacent. We know that this is a red state, but we've got to roll up our sleeves and make sure that more conservative voices are heard, that we diversify our party. And if we want to grow the tent, we can't take that tent down every 2 years after an election. We have to remain in the dialogue. And that's what I loved about campaigning across this great state, was meeting Georgians from every walk of life, from hearing their challenges and trying to make sure that they had a voice in Washington.
And you know, I guess you mentioned the complacency. We had a kind of slightly similar situation when Alabama elected Doug Jones to be a U.S. senator. Like, whoa, 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 is this a one-off? Is this an anomaly? But you saw people say, hey, wait a second, we need to make sure this doesn't happen again. And I think on a much more broader scale, you look at what happened in Georgia in this last cycle, that maybe now we got to, as Republicans, got to figure out how to, make sure that, or at least try to make sure that this doesn't happen again, where you'll lose two Senate seats and it goes for the Democratic presidential candidate.
Well, absolutely. And look, I got to serve with Senator Tuberville for a few days, my last few days in the Senate. Y'all were able to get it back on track. And look, David Perdue and I warned about this during our campaigns. We said, this is the road to socialism if we don't make sure that we keep the Senate in Republican hands. And sure enough, just 2 months in, we see what this administration, what Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi want to do to the country. They've already raised our gasoline prices, put people out of work, opened the border, kept schools closed. And, you know, look, this is when we as a party need to be saying, hold your elected officials accountable, because this is what we warned about, and they're doing it at a more rapid pace than we could have ever imagined. And the way to change it is by voting. I'm really proud that the General Assembly here in Georgia has taken steps to increase confidence so that more people know that their voice will be heard. And, you know, that's going to be our pure focus, is looking ahead and then holding our officials accountable for representing the values of Georgia.
Yeah, let's talk about the new bill, SB 202. Governor Kemp, he's been making the rounds in the media. There's a lot of misinformation out there, but you know, you got to give it to the other side on this, and Stacey Abrams. I mean, you know, they are where they are today because they, you know, despite the loss in 2018, they kept on moving, kept on working toward you know, their end goal. And I guess if anything coming out of your Greater Georgia initiative, it seems to me that you kind of want to be a counterbalance to that. And it's good to see, I guess, whatever you think about the governor of Georgia, but at least he's out there defending this law and combating some of the misinformation.
Well, that's incredibly important. I mean, you bring up an important point that the misinformation is proliferating thanks to the mainstream media. And I was talking to the governor over the weekend, and I said, you know, the name of the bill is the Election Integrity Act. It's rare that a bill is known by its kind of legislative numerics, but the mainstream media doesn't want to call it the Election Integrity Act. And it really brings a tremendous amount of access and confidence to this process. It expands hours. It puts drop boxes into the law for the first time. We've never had those in Georgia. It makes sure that when you have a signature match process that we had this year, that we don't have the subjective nature of that happening again, and replaces it with voter ID, which we know that 74% of Georgians want voter ID for absentee ballot. You have to use it when you're in person. Why shouldn't you use it for a mail-in ballot? And then we're going to be printing our ballots on security paper so that people know that they're holding an authentic ballot. Simple measures that can, these are not partisan measures. These are measures that can make every single Georgian know that their vote, the sanctity of that vote, is going to make a big difference. So I applaud the General Assembly. I thank the governor for signing it. And the left is working hard to raise money to make this an election issue. And even the Washington Post said that it's all based on lies. They gave Biden 4 Pinocchios for completely misrepresenting the bill.
Yeah, and you know, the big talking point seems to be that if you're a thirsty voter and you're waiting in line, you can't have any water, you can't have any food. But you know, that's what you got to confront, and that, you know, it's easy to throw out these talking points like that, and then just watch these guys run with them. And there's no real counter to that, but at least it looks to me like that they're trying to say, hey, that it's you could have water if you're in line as long as it's not from some kind of partisan thing, and there's reasons for this, and they have to explain that. But you know, and then the other part, I guess, of this, the real reason is, I think the Democrats in Georgia don't really like the idea of a voter ID law.
Well, you know, polling shows that many Democrats support voter ID because they want to know that their vote counts and isn't canceled out. 74% of all Georgians support voter ID, so that's not partisan. And then on the, you know, the requirement, it was simply to clarify that 150 feet within the polling place, there can't be any campaigning or electioneering. Like, that's, and the Supreme Court itself, this issue has gone to the Supreme Court. They said this should be a place of, you know, kind of calm, and you've done all the campaigning all the way up to election day, and then 150 feet from where you're going to place your vote, it just needs to be neutral and nonpartisan. And certainly the counties can provide water. Voters can bring a bottle of water or any beverage they want, and some snacks or food. You can order food in line. You just can't have it delivered by a partisan person. So I think, you know, we'll get past that because the truth will prevail in this. And I think it will ultimately hurt the Democrats who are trying to point to an issue that doesn't exist at the expense of looking at real issues and making sure that we do have access for everyone who wants to vote.
Joined by former United States Senator Kelly Loeffler here on the program. Senator, getting Georgia back to in the red column, kind of looking at the map county by county, it looks to me like the where the work's got to be done is kind of around the suburbs of Atlanta. You know, that was kind of the talking point that Trump couldn't win in suburban Atlanta, or in the suburbs, not just Atlanta, but nationally. Looking at that and getting things kind of back in a Republican way there is, you know, where do you think the work needs to be done? If we're going to flip that Senate seat back into next cycle?
Well, that's an important question because certainly Metro Atlanta is growing. But the rest of the state is growing. We're continuing to attract more businesses to our state. The governor just launched the effort around the new Savannah Civic Center that we're building. There's a lot of development and expansion in more rural areas, and agriculture is still the number one industry in our state. So it's hard to say that just one area is important, but certainly the rapid growth of Metro Atlanta and the suburbs are going to be continually rising in importance. And I think the issues are going to be really consistent, though, across the board. You know, families want to know that they have economic opportunity, good paying jobs. They want to know that their taxes aren't going to go up. They want energy prices, whether it's putting gas in the car or heating and cooling their homes, their bills aren't going to skyrocket because of the Green New Deal. They want to know that the border's secure and that we're following the laws. And here in Atlanta, big issue is safety and security and making sure that we have law and order, that we have that we support our law enforcement. And that's going to continue to drive a lot of dialogue around local and statewide elections.
You mentioned energy and gas prices and what that could do, because, you know, elections have consequences. And it seems like one of the consequences here, it's going to be that this is something that, you know, it's not going to pick and choose who it impacts. It pretty much will impact everybody. If you drive an automobile, you're going to be feeling that. And you know, we just don't have like big mass transit infrastructure here in the South. But the place where it seems like that Republicans could probably make a lot of hay is pointing out, hey, look at these policies. Not only are we shooting ourselves in the foot by ending federal leases and the Keystone Pipeline but all this government spending as well. It's going to drive up the price of gas because of inflation and the oil price of oil being pegged to the U.S. dollar, that you're going to feel this impact sooner or later when you elect these Democrats. And in Georgia seems to be a place where you can at least change that a little bit.
Well, and that's exactly why I started Greater Georgia, so that we can hold Democrats accountable in real time for the policies that are hurting hardworking families. So it's filling up the gas tank every week. It's going to the grocery store and seeing the cost of milk and other commodities rise because of inflation. It's potential for higher interest rates, which would raise the cost of paying your mortgage. And this is, and not to mention the jobs lost on Keystone, 11,000 jobs right off the bat, not, you know, counting all the dependencies and, you know, cutting $2 billion in wages out of, you know, these are blue-collar jobs that really build communities and families. And there's going to be some fallout for them. And that's why I think we have every opportunity to take the House in 22. But again, we can't be complacent. And that's why I've built Greater Georgia to counteract Fair Fight, which operates year-round in and outside of an election year. We've got to get good at that as a party. And we can't be transactional with our voters. We've got to maintain that dialogue and continue to inform them on the issues that make a difference in their everyday lives.
And we'll wind it down on this, looking at 2022 and kind of the future of the Republican Party as a whole. I mean, we spent the last 15 minutes or so talking about issues, but I think the presence of Donald Trump is still part of the party, but maybe more so the policies that Trump brought along on immigration, as you mentioned. I think trade and I think foreign policy, all kind of key components of the Trump agenda. But you can't really, for now at least, the Republican Party wouldn't be wise to divorce itself from that the 4 years of the Trump presidency.
Well, exactly, Jeff. I mean, President Trump put America first, and the America First agenda lifted up more Americans than any president's policies in my lifetime. We had, you know, economic disparities were falling. We had record employment for women, for the Black community, for Hispanics, for Asian Americans. We stood up against China. We were taking on big tech, and we were making a difference on the border. And now that all that work is being erased. And really, when you think about on a global basis, he made our companies competitive again from a tax basis. Now they're talking about raising our income taxes again, which will chase more companies out of the United States, which means jobs. Because in Washington, I always reminded people that a company is an employer. And that's what we need, is good-paying jobs. These jobs provide benefits, which means great health care plans for families, and it creates opportunities to climb that ladder of success and live the American dream. And you don't hear any talk about living the American dream from this administration, but when you put America first, that's possible again.
Well, Senator, we will wrap it up on that. If folks want to find out more about Greater Georgia or anything like that, where can they look?
Just go to greatergeorgia.com. You can see what's going on our website, and then you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And we're reaching out, working hard to diversify our party, bring more folks in and get engaged. And we're going to make sure that by the time Election Day gets here next year, we're in a good place to, you know, get this state red and keep working toward that goal in other states as well.
Senator, thank you for talking to our audience down here in Southwest Alabama. We do appreciate it, and let's talk again soon.
Sounds good, Jeff. Have a great day.
That was former United States Senator Kelly Loeffler here on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
It was a while ago. We fired once more, and they began to run on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.